Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, What I Googled This Week, in which we somehow get into the witchcraft and ghost terrain. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hey, welcome to episode 84. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Shauna. How are you doing?
Good. And how are you? Give us your update.
So, okay, my baby is 12 months and 1 week. And yeah, this week I've really noticed a huge jump in his receptive language, which I found really interesting. You know, I've heard that they understand a lot more than they can express. You know, their receptive language is way more intact than their, what is it, their expressive language at this age. But it's very clear all of a sudden. And this week it was just like really obvious that he was understanding things I was saying better than he has in the past. And there was just one thing that really made me, it just sort of clicked with me, which was we got rid of our Christmas tree this week. Because when we're recording, this is what, 2 weeks-ish after Christmas. And we finally got rid of our Christmas tree. And when I came in the house, we like went out one day and came back in. And I said, oh, I kind of missed the Christmas tree. And he looked to exactly where the Christmas tree was and pointed. And I was like, wow, so you understood. Like, there's no question that he understood what I was saying. And he was understanding that it was gone. And I was like, whoa. And so he's really understanding me, which is making me realize, like, I got to be really mindful of how I talk to him. And I feel like I always am. But, you know, sometimes you just say things offhand.
Yeah.
Then, you know, like almost as a joke, is when they're little babies, it's almost really funny to talk to them like they're, you know, full grown adults, you know? And I just have to be a little more mindful that he's
like, shit, bitch, you got to change your diaper like that or something. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, okay. Basically. Yeah. Lots of cursing. And I'm not really necessarily too worried about the cursing, but I am worried about things like, you know, like, ooh, that's a stinky diaper. You made a really stinky diaper. You know, I don't want him to start feeling shame for stuff like that. So I, when I find myself being like, pew, that stinks, I'll be like, you know, mommy makes stinky poops too. You know, like we all make, you know, trying to make sure that it's understanding that it's like, I'm just trying to make sure that if he, I'm teasing him for something, it's something sweet and it's not going to damage him in the future. I don't know.
He's going to have a stinky poop complex for the rest of his life.
Well, I mean, I think people do, right? I definitely don't love the idea of pooping in a public bathroom and stuff.
Oh, so, same.
Yeah, same. So I don't want it to be a thing. So that's very fun. And then as far as his expressive language goes, he is practicing shaking his head no right now. And he thinks it's so funny. But it's not like he does it to be defiant, right? He's just like, oh, for example, we have a baby. I have a playlist on Spotify that's like the baby dance party, which I guess I could share that link on our show notes.
Yeah, please. I want to be part of that.
It's a very eclectic baby dance party playlist. And one of the songs we have on it is Sia's The Greatest. I don't know if you're familiar with the song, but there's a the bridge of the song. She says, like, don't give up, won't give up, don't give up, no, no, no. And it says no, no, no over and over. So we were listening to it, and he heard it, and he was like, no, 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 no. And he shakes his head, and then he laughs. He goes, no, no, no. And then he laughs and laughs and laughs because he's realized, I think, that he can put it together.
Yeah, he's so delighted with himself.
So
I love it.
So proud of himself. It's so cute when he's proud of himself for things. So that is just super fun. I'm really into this. He kind of does yes, but he can't quite get the nodding quite. Like he said yes, but like, we'll nod yes, yes, yes. And he like moves his head in kind of like a figure eight.
That's
so
awesome.
That's very sweet. So that's fun on his part. For my world, I am no longer pumping.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I'm still breastfeeding, and I think we're just going to breastfeed as long as both of us are happy with it. And right now we're both happy with it. And he's really, he's very emotionally attached to it. Like he just begs for it a lot and like comes up, he like starts pulling my shirt up and it really gives him a lot of joy and comfort. So I'm, you know, I'm fully admitting that I am also emotionally attached to it. You know, you get your sweet cuddle time. And so, you know, we're going to stick with that for a while. But now that he's 12 months, he doesn't need breast milk. Like it's just, you know, kind of bonus for him at this point. And that means I don't have to pump anymore. because he doesn't need it anymore.
Yeah. So is he getting cow's milk in the morning or what?
So we have a couple, we have about like a week of, week's worth of frozen milk left in the fridge. And he only gets one bottle a day in the morning. So we're just going to get through it. We're just going to get through it and then figure it out. Corey says he's trying to like add a little cow's milk into the bottles in the morning, but he hasn't really been interested in it. Like it hasn't really gone over all that well. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And then we've tried putting also like cow's milk in a cup because now that he's a year, the exciting things that happen at a year are like, you can get cow's milk and honey, right?
Oh, right, yeah.
Probably not together. I mean, maybe it'd be good. Warm it up, but...
I thought that's what you meant at first.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you could.
Oh, honey milk.
Honey milk. I actually do love, like, steamed milk with honey, so maybe he'd like that too. But no, but he hasn't been interested. He'll take a couple sips, and then he just doesn't care about it. So we'll see. But the idea is that we might as well use up the breast milk that I've pumped, because why not? Otherwise, it's just going to go to waste. So we're doing that, and sometime next week, we'll try to figure out whether he'll take the milk in the morning.
So are you one of those people that just was ready to throw the pump off of the balcony or smash it with a baseball bat and be done with it? Or are you just kind of like, oh, bye-bye, little pump? What's your attitude, and how do you feel about it all?
I have mixed feelings, because on one hand, I only pumped once a day, unless I had some weird thing, like a game show I had to go to, you know, those normal mom things that people do. And so it didn't really take all that much time, like 30 minutes a day, maybe. And it was fine. Like I got this, once I got the Spectra, it was more, way more comfortable, and it wasn't like a hard process. So on one hand, I'm like, oh, good riddance. It's just like 30 minutes of my day I get back and I don't have to worry about washing the pump parts or any of that crap anymore. On the other hand, I've lost my free time to watch Teen Mom by myself.
That's devastating.
It is devastating.
Because you can really only justify that by multitasking it with something important, right? Like you wouldn't just park your butt on the couch and put on Teen Mom and just watch it, right? No shame to anyone who does, but I feel like I know you.
I mean, that sounds like a beautiful world. No, I couldn't. I couldn't. I just, I have too much shit to do. And so when you're hooked up to a breast pump, you really can't do more than that. Very, you know, you can maybe, I've heard of all these people who pump at work and they take like business calls and all that stuff. But if you don't have to take a business call, you are not taking a business call while pumping, right? Yes. So I would just use it as my little bit of downtime for the day. And it wouldn't always work out because sometimes the baby would wake up from his nap or, you know, who know? Oh, you know what was the worst is the construction workers working on the back, our like garage conversion that will never end. They were so reliable to come and knock on my glass door and ask me for something right when I was pumping. I was like, are you fucking kidding me right now?
Oh my God, I need a do not disturb sign on your door.
And then they, of course, were like, oh God, what happened? You know, I was like, people. So anyway, I'm very mixed feelings. I think for the most part, positive feelings. So yeah, I packed up all the pumping supplies and stuff and put them in storage. So that's,
all right,
that's been exciting. And then I had just one more quick update, which goes back to the cow's milk thing, because I went to our 12-month doctor's appointment, pediatrician's appointment. And just quick updates, his blood sugar is perfect. I don't know if you remember, he had a little bit of a diabetes scare. It wasn't a scare.
Oh,
I just
yeah.
was paranoid because he drinks so much water.
Right.
So we got the blood test. It's like a toe prick. For his blood sugar, totally normal. And then we also got the toe prick to check his iron, which is up by another point, I think. So it went from like 10.5 to 11.5 or something. Anyway, I don't remember the numbers, but it's at 11.5 now. So that's good. So it's going up. So that's good.
Yay.
And we talked about cow's milk at the appointment. And my pediatrician is actually fairly anti-cow's milk. Like, she doesn't think it's necessary as long as they can get their calcium from another source, basically. And she's like, he eats cheese, he eats yogurt. He really doesn't need milk. It would just be if he wants milk. And she said to limit it to 16 ounces a day if he does like it. So signs are pointing to him not liking it at all, but she was like, he doesn't need it. Like, he doesn't need it at all. So it's up to you whether you give it to him, but you don't have to give it to him for nutrition. So we'll see how that goes.
That's in line with what our pediatrician said, too. Yeah. When we asked how much, he said 0 to 16 ounces. So sounds like, yeah, it's not necessary.
Are you guys giving cow's milk right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. She likes it a lot. And I like that it's extra protein and mm-hmm. calcium. You know, she doesn't love a lot of cheese and yogurt and stuff. So I like it.
Yeah, it's so convenient. Like, part mm-hmm. of me hopes he likes it because it's just like, here, pour it in a glass, have some milk. There you go. But
yeah,
I don't think he's going to make my life that easy. So anyway, that was our week. Lots of receptive language, lots of no. And
so
yeah,
cute.
No more pumping.
Yeah, woohoo!
Shauna, how old is your toddler now? And what are you guys up to?
All right. Cece is 13 months. And she has started doing the cutest little thing that I just have to talk about because I love it so much.
Okay.
She'll go get a book from her bookshelf, walk over to me with it, turn around, sit on my lap, and demand that I read her
book. Oh, she is after my own heart. How cute is that?
Oh, it's so cute. I love it. It's just like, oh, you want to sit on my lap? You know, it makes working a little tricky because she does not care if I have a laptop on my lap doing work. She's just like, she like will push it out of the way, straddle my lap and be like, book.
What are her favorite books?
She has two little books of little nursery rhymes. One has like, you know, Itsy Bitsy Spider, Row, Row, Row Your Boat. One has Twinkle, Twinkle. They have little handles on the spine so she can like hold it like a little suitcase. I mean, it's adorable. And she just loves these books. So we read those a lot. Kind of along those lines, which is also making work a little tricky, is that she is mastering climbing up and down from the couch.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting really good at that and learning to climb off feet first. I'm always like, feet first.
Yeah.
And, you know, watch the edge so she can climb right up and, you know, scooch my laptop over and be like, Mom, fuck you. Play with me. Oh, God, it's so hard.
I don't know how you do it. I really, really don't. I can't get anything done. And if I, like, look at my phone, he's like, what are you doing? I can't even look at my phone anymore. So I don't know how you work on a laptop and, you know, take meetings and stuff. You're a hero.
So that's her. And then the thing on my plate this week, on top of everything else I've got going on, is my other daughter, Elle, has a birthday coming up. She's going to be 4. And so I've been planning her birthday party. And it's just wild how different birthday parties are nowadays from when I was little.
Oh, yeah?
They're just huge ordeals. Have we talked about this? I don't think
we've talked about it. No. I need to know for my future.
I mean, like, when I was a little, it was like a couple kids, and it was just at home or, you know, at the pool, and I don't know, it was just very, very low key. And now it's like, invite every single kid in the preschool class, which is a lot, and your own personal friends, and you have to find a place to hold it, especially when you have a winter baby, because you can't guarantee that outside party time. So I, like, booked a bowling alley, and I'm going to have a big bowling party. And already 16 kids have RSVP'd yes, and it's going to be so over the top. And of course, I'm making a cake because that's my new hobby. So it's just a big thing. And I like doing this stuff, but it's just a big thing. And I'm like, what am I preparing her for in the future of birthday parties? Like, she's had, you know, party at my gym. Now she's going to have a party at a bowling alley.
Yeah.
What is the 16th birthday party going to be like? A trip to Paris or something? I don't know.
I will RSVP yes for her, the trip to Paris.
Oh, I see. Okay, good.
I'm assuming I'm invited. I mean,
oh, well, come on. We'll see how close we all are in 16 years. So,
yeah, that does sound like a lot. I have this issue with presents for people in my life that, like, every year I feel like I need to top what I did the year before.
Oh,
and it's unsustainable. And I feel like it's kind of the same way, right? Like, well, we got to do better than last year. It's the next big birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just setting yourself up for, like, you said, a trip to the moon for her 21st birthday or whatever. So
yeah, it's true. But I think maybe that will change now that you have a kid, and once he's a little older and you start going to tons of birthday parties and stuff. I think all of us parents have kind of understood that it's fine to just rush to Target the day of the party, grab a toy, get a gift receipt, and like call it a day. And that's awesome. So I'm personally taking the pressure off of you to top yourself and ever get any of my kids a trip to the moon.
Thank you. I'll talk to my financial advisor and hold that savings account for now. No, and it's hard because you want to give them a fun time, but I do see how it becomes an escalating problem. I feel like I'm not a great person to talk to this about because my mother went all out for our childhood birthday parties.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We invited the whole school and...
The whole school?
Yeah.
What?
Basically, I think so. Or the whole, not just the class, but, the class. Everyone in, our grade. I feel I don't even know because I wasn't really that involved. All I knew was that, one day... Everyone showed up. And I'm talking, there had to be 100 people at these parties.
But here's the thing.
We lived in a house with a pool and a slide. And my birthday is in May in Fresno where it's hot. And lived on 2.5 acres.
Oh, so great. That's my dream birthday party situation right there. I love that.
But I mean, it was really fun. I felt very, very special. But also she didn't have to rent out a venue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she still bought Costco pizzas and cake and stuff. So, I'm sure for the amount of money I spent just renting the venue for my baby's first birthday party, I could have fed, I could have fed 200 people probably.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah, it's just a different world. And our houses can only fit so many people. And can only fit so many small children running around.
Absolutely. And the lack of entertainment. I don't have room in my yard for a bounce house. We don't have a pool. That would just be, oh God, summer birthday parties with the pool. My birthday's in June, so we would do pool parties. Oh, I just love it. I really wish my kids were born in the summer.
You had control over that. Just saying. I'm just saying that was your doing. They had no control over that.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, those are my updates for this week. Should we move on to our special segment?
Yeah, let's take a little break and do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. And we are back. So our special segment this week is a classic. It's What I Googled This Week, where we talk about the strange and interesting stuff we had to consult the internet gods for. Shauna, what did you Google this week?
I Googled baby dimples on upper cheeks.
Oh, okay. Does she have cute little dimples? I mean, she does, right? I've seen these dimples.
Yeah. I did not know what it was at first. For a long time, I was just like, oh, she's got like when she smiles or, you know, really big. I guess that's how dimples work. It's just kind of like.
That is the function that creates the dimples. Yes.
Yeah. She gets a crease. It's really mostly on the left side. And it's like on her upper cheek, like her upper cheekbone and under her eye, kind of. It's really cute. But I didn't know what it was at first. And I was like, oh, maybe it's a dimple. Do people get dimples like other than the typical place you imagine them, which is like right on the corner of your mouth? And so I had to know. And there is, of course, not a ton of information about this because I think it's probably pretty rare. But I did find a few interesting things I wanted to share. So first of all, I don't have dimples. I've never thought much about them in my life. I mean, obviously they're cute, but I learned what a dimple is and why it works and how it works. So for those of you who don't know, it's basically when a part of the muscle is attached to your cheek. And so when you smile, that muscle tenses up and creates that little indentation. So there you go. Fun fact. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I have a dimple on the top of my cheek.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'm smiling. I'm talking weird because I'm like scrunching my face up. It's only on one side. It's on my right side. I'm gonna turn on my selfie mode and see if I can see this.
This is awesome.
Take a photo.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, totally.
That's so special. You and Cece both have upper cheek dimples.
It's kind of hard to see. I look like a crazy person in this photo, but I'm going to text this to you.
Please do. Okay, let me check this out.
Okay.
Yeah. Aw. You guys are dimple twinsies. Hers are a little bit higher than that.
Yeah.
But that's super cute. And that leads perfectly into this next thing I'm going to share, which is great because I had no clue how I was going to tie this in to this conversation, but I really wanted to. So this search brought up Google Book results for the following book.
Okay. And Google Books is like the thing where they scan all these books, right? So you can actually search inside the text of books.
Yeah. And your Google search results will sometimes pull up stuff from within the text of these books.
Mm-hmm.
So the book that came up was called Backwoods Witchcraft, Conjure and Folk Magic from Appalachia.
Oh, my God.
Cool, right?
Okay. I'm here for it. Yeah.
And I guess there's a section in the book. I didn't read the whole book, of course, just this little excerpt. But there's a section in the book called Marking and Mirroring.
Okay.
And I'm going to read a little bit that's going to lead up to the part about dimples that I find is connected to this. Okay, quote. I grew up hearing about children being marked by their mothers in the womb by things the mothers did. I'm an example. When my mother was 3 months pregnant with me, she was thrown out of a moving truck, going 75 miles an hour. Thankfully, we were both okay, but I was born with a birthmark on my back in the shape of a pickup truck. The beliefs in this area. The belief is that if the mother is frightened by something, her baby could be marked with a birthmark the shape of what frightened her, or have a physical resemblance to something or someone. But on the other hand, the babe could be marked by someone the mother loved dearly. My godson, whose mother is my best friend, had a dimple on his upper cheek, just like mine, that shows when he smiles. Laura, maybe your cheek dimple marked Cece.
I love that. We got little dimple twins.
Dimple twins. Thank God she doesn't have a birthmark in the shape of a pickup truck, so
okay,
that's good.
I have a massive birthmark on my shoulder.
Oh,
I don't
do?
Know if you, it's kind of faded as an adult, mm-hmm. but as a kid, it was really obvious. I mean, it's still there. It's just I forget about it. And I also don't show my shoulders that much, but it's mm-hmm. this long, like, archipelago of darker skin mm-hmm. across my shoulder. And growing up in the 80s, we called it my Gorbachev because it looks uh-huh. just like Gorbachev's, the mark he had on his head.
Right.
So maybe when my mom was pregnant with me, she was scared by Gorbachev.
Oh, you've got to find out and corroborate this.
I mean, everyone was scared of Russia, of the USSR in the 80s, right? In America. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know if my mom was actually that scared. She's like a very non-afraid person. She's
a very brave person.
But, ooh, that's my mark.
That's your mark.
I also have the exact same birthmark on my upper thigh that the baby does. My baby does.
What? I didn't know that. That's
cool. It's shaped like a little heart.
Aww.
Yeah. It's weird.
That's so cool.
So there you go.
There you go.
Marking from the womb. Well, I'm glad I had a positive effect.
Yes, exactly. Come on, Cece. And then the last thing about this is apparently there is a very famous K-pop singer, young girl who has, she's known for her upper cheek dimples. So if you want to get an idea of what I'm talking about, you can Google this K-pop star. Her name is Weki Meki Lau. She's a K-pop star and she's really cute and she's got little upper cheek dimples. So perfect example of what I'm talking about.
I do wish my upper cheek dimples were symmetrical though, I have to say.
Yeah, that would be cute. Cece has only got it on one side, but Oh, well. Okay, what did you Google this week or recently?
Okay, this was a Google at 10:30 p.m. at night, which was baby standing silently in crib. Okay. He woke up at it was 10:30 one night, just one night this week, just randomly. And, you know, that'll happen every once in a while. He'll wake up and sort of fuss for a minute and go back to sleep, right? Uh-huh. So he cried for a minute or two and he was upset. And so we actually went in to check to make sure he didn't have a poop. So I went in, mm-hmm. smelled him, and I ended up nursing him for a minute. And then he didn't want to nurse anymore. So I put him down and he was fine and he was quiet and I left. And then he got silent and he put his head down. And so we turned the video part of the monitor off and just went back to watching whatever we were watching, getting ready for bed. And then I went back into the bedroom. You know, we're like getting ready for bed. I go into the bedroom. I plug in the monitor for overnight charging and I turn the screen on because usually what we do is we have the audio on and the screen stays off to save battery. And,
right.
You know, also to save us from obsessing over every time he turns over, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go and I turn the screen on and he is standing at the edge of his crib silently just staring out into space.
Oh, my God. Was he, like, sleep standing? Do you think he fell asleep
His eyes were open. I could see him blinking. And every once in a while, he would, like, shuffle a little bit over or, like, shuffle around the corner to the other side. He was looking towards the door. I think he was looking towards, like, to see if we would come in. But he wasn't crying.
Yeah.
Shauna, he did this for an hour.
An hour?
An hour.
Is it baby sleepwalking? I mean, seriously, what did you find out? This is wild.
So, I don't know. People would be like, oh, kids, they're practicing. They're standing. I mean, he's been standing for so long. He was holding onto the edge. So it's not like he was practicing his independent standing. Of course, you get the people who are like, oh, that's when they're talking to their ghosts. You know?
Oh, well, yes. Of course, my mind went to ghosts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he wasn't talking to anyone. He was just standing there looking at things and
he was listening to the ghosts.
He was listening, I guess. But he wasn't going, no, no, no. And I can tell you it was exactly an hour because I was like obsessively looking at it. And we have our little like normal baby monitor that's just like a radio signal, right? It's not on Wi-Fi or anything. And it's more reliable and it's the sound and the video and the image is better. But we also have a Nest Cam in there that's left over from when it was my office. It was like a security camera, basically.
Right.
So, and I turn it on at night, you know, as a backup, basically. So I was able to go back and like watch the tape. And I watched as he was just like walking back and forth.
Oh, God.
Standing in his crib, and I'm like, well, I'm gonna go brush my teeth because he's not crying. Like, there's no reason to go in there, right? If we were asleep, if this was happening at 2 a.m., we would have had no idea.
I mean, maybe it has been happening every night.
Exactly.
At 2 a.m.
We don't, who knows? Maybe this is just what he does every night.
Uh huh.
So I went, brushed my teeth, did my like face wash, all that stuff. And I came back out and I'm like, he's still there. So I'm just watching and Corey's like, what do we do? I'm like, I don't know. We'll just wait till he goes. Like either starts crying. But I had gone in earlier. Like I knew he hadn't pooped. Like I knew he was fed.
Right.
He was just standing there. He wasn't crying. So I just obsessively watched it until finally I was like, he's so tired. He starts like swaying, you know, like you could tell he was so tired. And then I was like, he's going to fall over and like fall asleep.
Yeah.
And what happened was eventually he like sunk down to his knees.
Uh-huh.
And he fell asleep with his face pressed in between the bars of the crib.
Oh my gosh.
And just when I was like, maybe I need to go in and like move him, he like moved himself down and fell asleep.
Good.
And then he slept through the night. No problem.
Well,
straight
that's
through.
Good.
I know. I think he even slept till like 7:30 that day because he was probably so tired.
Yeah, from just standing around for an hour. So bizarre.
So bizarre. And so I had to make a time lapse of this.
Yes.
That's one of the benefits of the Nest Cam is you can go and like make time lapses. So I went in and did that.
Awesome.
We'll have to post that to like our Instagram stories. It's crazy. It was crazy. It was creepy.
That sounds so creepy. I think you've got a sleepwalker on your hand. That's my theory.
Oh, buddy. I don't want him to be a sleepwalker. It's a hard life, you know? It's dangerous.
Yeah, I know. I've heard Mike Birbiglia's stories.
Yeah. I need him not to be like Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to me because I think he was awake. Like, I don't think he was asleep because he was like blinking and like going on, like he was walking around the corner and stuff.
True.
So I don't know.
I
don't know. I don't know. It was very strange. I'd be curious to hear if any of our listeners had a similar situation. I feel like
yes,
I can't be the only one.
Know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Please let us know. Please let us know. So anyway, that was my very weird, also very entertaining in a creepy way. It was like a horror movie. Night, just like a free hour-long horror movie. But should we take a break and come back with our BFPs and our BFNs for the week?
Yes, I'm excited to share mine.
Ooh.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We are back and we've got our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Laura, what do you have for us?
I have a BFN.
Oh, all right. Tell us.
My BFN are multiple things. I don't know. They are hard to baby-proof items.
Ah.
Those things in your house that just defy proper baby-proofing.
Like cats.
Cats. Yeah, cats are a great one. But the one that I'm concerned about right now is my coffee table.
Oh, so okay.
My coffee table is, like, it comes up to about shoulder height on my baby. And it's, you know, it's a coffee table. We need it for, you know, if we're sitting in there to put our coffee on, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But it's right in the middle of the living room. And he loves walking around it. It's perfect for cruising. But, and we've done the thing where we put the little, like, rubber, you know, clear plastic soft bumpers on the corners.
Is it made out of wood?
It's wood and metal. So the top part's all wood. And it's actually one of those storage coffee tables where you can, like, lift the top up.
Mm-hmm.
To be like a table height, basically, and inside there's storage.
Oh, cool.
And the corners are a little sharp. And the edges aren't, like, sharp, sharp, razor sharp wooden edges or anything. But they are not soft at
mm-hmm.
all. And I thought it was fine until recently when my mom was in town. We were, you know, trying to encourage the baby to walk a little bit more and take a few steps. And he was getting really excited about it. And he was he would take like one step between the coffee table and the couch and get really excited. And then he'd start like excitedly sort of dancing around the, cruising around the coffee table really fast and kind of in a dancing way. But he went around the corner and just was getting all excited. And he was kind of took a misstep and he dropped down and his chin hit the table.
Ouch.
And it bonked really bad. But the thing that was really bad is that, you know, he has four teeth on bottom now, but he doesn't have molars. And so his bottom teeth cut the roof of his mouth. And so he was bleeding. And I was worried he was like going to cut his, you know, like bite his tongue really bad.
Yeah.
He has this terribly terrifying tendency to walk around with his tongue sticking out of his mouth. And I'm just like, oh God, baby, you're like, I really don't want you to cut your tongue that bad. I don't even know if it's possible, but like I have these terrible visions of his like tongue getting cut off completely and stuff. I really doubt that. So I'm like, I go to the worst case scenario in my brain. And so the poor baby. And I should mention, this was all on film because I was videoing him.
Oh,
and
no.
So I have a video of his first really bad bonk. And I felt so bad. And, you know, like I scooped him up and, you know, got a damp washcloth. And like, you know, he stopped bleeding really quickly and he actually recovered really quickly. So that was okay. But what I realized is that like, other than getting rid of the coffee table, I don't really think I can fix it. Like, even if I put a soft, you know, pool noodle or something around the edges, that wouldn't stop him from bonking his chin on it and cutting the inside of his mouth. You know what I mean? So I don't know what to do about it.
What if you put one of your giganto blankets over it during the day? I mean, it would cushion the whole thing.
I'd worry about tripping, but
yeah. Can you push it off to the side?
It's super heavy. So you know how it's one of those like storage ones? So it's really heavy. So I can't do it by myself. And I feel like I need to talk to Corey about this because he didn't see it. I showed him the video, though, but he, you know, I keep being like, you know, this coffee table might be a problem, and he sort of has dismissed it. Like, it's fine. He needs to learn how to maneuver around it. It's not that sharp, you know, but I think it might be something where I need to, like, get him on board to move it, because bless his soul, he still is really holding on to, like, the idea that we can have an aesthetically pleasing house. With the baby around.
Well, here's the thing. You can in the evening after the baby goes to bed, you know, but during the day, scooch it out of the way if you can. Or maybe that gate that was his yes space, maybe gate it off, you know, during the day or something like that. And then you can clean it up at night.
Yeah. The gate won't work just because of our layout, I don't think. But I do think that I could, like, we can move it. Because if it's off to the side, too, he'd be less interested in it, you know, he wouldn't even really be walking around it because it would just be off to the side. So, and maybe I could gate it if it was off to the side. So, all right, I'll have to try that.
Sorry, that's so stressful.
And then I also like to add on to the baby proof stuff. Like, the one other conundrum we have is I have all the plugs, you know, plugged up that aren't being used, but you have to use some plugs sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I have this one set of wall plugs that need to have things plugged into it. I need to like go get more extension cords, I guess, so I can like run an extension cord somewhere where he can't reach. But like
that's
right now, there's a lot of like, we don't play with wires. That's off limits. You know, we don't play with wires because they're dangerous and they could shock people, not just babies, you know, but it's like, so much redirection.
So much. Someone in my mom's group posted an item. It was like a power strip or something, but it had a plastic top over it or something. Like, you could insert the tip of the cord and then plug it in and then close it all so they can't get any of like the really dangerous parts.
Oh, interesting. I should look at that.
Maybe there's something like that you could use.
There's got to be. Yeah. I just have to, and then I keep trying like, I hate just buying so much shit all the time for these phases, but this is an important one. Like, he needs to be safe, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my BFN. That's what we're dealing with right now. Shauna, you teased that you had a good one, so I'm guessing it's a BFP, but I want to hear it.
It is a BFP.
Okay, good.
Okay, so my BFP this week is a product called Tiny Bites Food Shears.
Food shears.
Food shears. They're little food scissors. They look like they're about the size of kid scissors, but they're actually really sharp and pointy. So the kids shouldn't play with them. They're for adults. But they are awesome for cutting up baby food or even Elle's food that's just tricky to cut with a fork and knife. You know, for example, Cece loves little tangerines and mandarins.
Tangerines, yes, cuties.
Yes, cuties. She loves them, but one full segment is too much for her. She gags on it, and she's not great at, like, fully chewing things yet, so I have to cut those up. And my God, like, trying to, like, cut those little damn segments with, like, a knife or and a fork, and it's, like, getting stuck on the membranes, and I just, like, was getting pissed about cutting orange segments. And someone in my mom's group was like, I saw a mom at a restaurant the other day whip out a pair of little scissors and just like cut up her kids' food in no time. I was like, oh my God, I need that. I've never heard of this. So I went online. They exist. They are fantastic. I just take a little segment, go make it in a couple little cuts. It's great for little fish sticks, toast, muffins.
So they're good for travel to just throw in the bag.
Absolutely. They come with a travel top. So, you know, you can put it over the top and it's not sharp or anything. You can bring it with you.
And that's good. Yeah, because I kind of avoid taking cuties with me anywhere for that reason because it's so hard. And yeah, I watch all these other babies like just take a whole segment and like deftly bite into it and have no problem. My baby will take like three segments and just shove them in his mouth like a chipmunk. And I'm just like, okay, it's too much. It's too much. So yeah, I'm with you on having to cut those up. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's not perfect for everything. Like cutting grapes with them is tricky because it kind of squishes and they juice out a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it is really good for cutting things that, you know, are just a little bit trickier and it's fast. And I feel like I spend so much time prepping meals for kids. And
yes.
Whatever I can do to make it faster is great.
Yeah. No, I'm there with you. Do you have good containers that you use to take baby food and stuff with you? Because I have these little tiny ones that were for like when he was a little baby eating purees and they're just not cutting it anymore. And I don't, I'm sick of using Ziploc bags, you know?
Mm-hmm. I have a couple things. There's one that's kind of like for O's or puffs or, you know, little stuff like that. It's a cup with two little handles and you put a lid on top and it's kind of cut, like the top is...
It's like perforated or like windmilled. Like, I know the thing you're talking about because when I first saw it being used, I think with Elle, I was like, that's a genius thing. It like allows the Cheerios to stay in, but the kid can go in and get it themselves. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are kind of cool. It's tough. They will fall out if you throw it in your bag. So it's not perfect. Some come with lids. And then I have just little small cylinder Tupperware from, you know, I don't know, just kind of reusable ones that have a screw-on lid that will bring little stuff. But you know, we don't go very many places. So, yeah.
I've been thinking I want to look into those little, like, kid bento boxes, essentially, because we do go places a lot. Like, I get stir crazy, so we have to leave the house. And my guy eats so much freaking food, and he wants a variety. So, like, I think I need a five-year-old's lunchbox for my
there
one-year-old.
There you go. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look into that. So, all right. Well, little, what are they called? The shears?
They are called Tiny Bites Food Shears. So and we will a pack put a... comes with two. Two
oh,
little
that's
shears.
Cool. Yeah. So we will put a link to that for sure on our website.
And I think that's it for this episode, right?
I think so.
Awesome. If you want to share anything with us about what you Googled recently, please reach out and let us know. We love hearing from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a closed group, so you have to request to join, but I will add you right away, and you can join in on all the amazing conversations we're having in there. It's such a great group. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, or you can send us an email with maybe a voice memo for our Check in the Inbox segment. Contact at BigFatPositivePodcast.com.
If you love our show, please spread the word. Let your pregnant friends know about our podcast or your new parent friends. And please leave us a rating or review wherever you listen. That helps people find us in the search and know that we are a great show. So thank you so much for doing that. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.